All right, good morning. I know that for some of you, you had a really good evening, and for some of you, you did not, and I apologize about that, but I'm glad you're here either way. But I'm wearing my cowboy shirt today. I haven't had a lot of opportunity to wear this. I only wear it after wins. But it's really frustrating being a Cowboys fan. As soon as you hope they start losing so you can get a better draft pick, they start winning. I mean, it's not as frustrating as being a Commanders fan, but it is frustrating all the same. So today we've been talking about Proverbs. We're going to continue talking about Proverbs, and we are going to talk today about the subject that Proverbs actually talks the most about. So if you were to divide Proverbs into, okay, all of these Proverbs and verses, they talk about this, and these talk about work, these talk about sex, these talks about family, this talks about money, and then you took all the Proverbs that talked about the way we talk, you would have the biggest collection of verses there. So what we say and how we say it, Proverbs has a lot to say about that subject, and it makes sense because we talk a lot. Some research suggests that we talk up to 700 times a day. And if you think that's impossible, you've got to think that it's not just that you have 700 conversations with people, but that in a conversation, every time you speak, that's one, and then hopefully you're letting the other person speak, and then you speak again, that's two. So in a conversation, you are speaking several times, and we post on Instagram and TikTok. That is a form of communication and speaking. We send texts, so up to 700 times, some research suggests. But if you don't believe that, if you think that's too much, and you just say, let's cut that in half. So research says 700. I think that's too much. Let's just talk about 350. Maybe you have 350 opportunities to express yourself with words. Even if that's too much, you think, I don't talk that much. You're not a talker. Cut it in half again. We're at 25% of what research suggests. We'd be at 135 opportunities to express your thoughts with words. And then think, is there anything else you do 135 times every day? So even if research 700, we're just going to take 25% of that. We're at 135 opportunities to use our words to communicate with others. And there's nothing else you do more often than that, maybe, than just think. Okay, so your thought life, but then your speech life. Speech is a unique thing that we have as humans because we are made in the image of God. We can teach a gorilla sign language. We can teach parrots and even dolphins to mimic human words, but it's not really communication. But we, being made in the image of God, can express ourselves through the written word and through the spoken word, and so Proverbs has a lot to say about that. And I could probably do 2 or 3 weeks on what we say and the way we say it and what we should say instead, but I've only got today. So I'm going to narrow it down, and I asked some students Dave said I teach at Belton High School. I just want to be clear. I teach at the Belton High School, okay? The real Belton High School, the original Belton High School. So I asked some students at the Belton High School, what are some ways that you have either yourself or others around you struggle with sinning while speaking? And really just two rose to the surface. There were some different answers, but really it was gossip and lying. And I said, why are these so common? Why is everyone saying the same things? And they said, because we accept them. Gossip, we all participate in it. It's hard not to. Lying, we all tell white lies, and we just don't really get mad at each other for it. We don't call each other out for it. We're always doing it. We're always participating in it. It's almost kind of, it's an expected sin, and so it's tolerable. And that's why we fall into that. So I think it's good to talk about. And just to, our words are important, and it's important to talk about this. Proverbs 18 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Up to 700 times every day, you have the opportunity to speak life into someone and encourage them, or you have the opportunity to really, really destroy them and crush them and pull them down. Words cut deep. I mean, you've heard the saying, and I'm sure you could say it with me, sticks and stones may break my bones, but, say it, That is not true, right? We all know that that's not true. Solomon also said, in the hands of someone who knows how to wield them, words can cut like swords. And if you think back to some physical pain that you've endured, maybe you've broken a bone or got actually cut deeply, or sometimes I've broken bones and gotten cuts, but I think the most painful thing that I've experienced is like when I rammed this shin bone into a tailgate like a trailer hitch as I rounded the corner of a truck really fast, and that hurt. And when you think, I try to remember that pain. I remember being in pain, but I don't remember the pain itself. It's hard for me to say what did that feel like and remember it. I just remember being in agony, maybe too much agony if you ask my wife. But anyway, it's hard to remember. Physical pain will eventually fade from memory, but there are probably times when you can think of when you were ridiculed, made fun of, or found out that there was some rumor going around about you that it crushed you in a way that if you remember that today, you can still feel that inside your chest and recall what it felt like at that moment. And maybe your cheeks flush as you remember the embarrassment or the pain. Yeah, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will break my heart. They'll crush my spirit. And so what we say matters. So gossip and lying, at least according to the students at Belton High School, are pretty commonplace and pretty tolerable. So I'm just going to talk about those two. So first, gossip, the spreading of unfavorable information about someone else. Should not be confused with slander. What the Bible calls slander, that would be sharing unfavorable information that is not true. So if you're trying to damage someone's reputation by starting a rumor that you know is not true, or maybe attributing some motivations, oh, you know why he did this? It's just because he's whatever, whatever. When you don't really understand the motivations of that person or what was on their heart or their intentions behind what they said or what they did, that would be slander. Gossip is passing along truth, but truth that you don't have the right to pass along. And so I think there needs to be some clarity in what exactly is gossip, because we wouldn't call a reporter a gossip because they are passing along information that usually doesn't have to do with them. They're just reporting on. So is reporting facts a sin? Well, that depends. It depends on your motivations for passing on those facts. It depends on whether those facts involve you at all. So there's a test that sometimes you can run. If you could pass on a story, there's a story that you feel like you just want to get out and you have to tell somebody, and you want to make sure you're not gossiping, tell yourself, okay, I'm not going to identify anybody involved in the story. I'm not going to use any names, and I'm not going to hint, hey, be careful in second period when you sit down, okay. No identifying information at all, is it still a story worth telling? And a lot of times when we strip away the identity of the person and we're just going to report the facts of what we saw, then it's not fun to tell. And so really, it wasn't what the story that we wanted to tell, it was the negative light that was shown on someone because of the story. So there is a way to ask for prayer without revealing identity. If you've ever been in a prayer group, or maybe you yourself have done this, when you say, oh, our brother Tim, he is struggling. He's fallen away from the Lord, and we just need to pray because he has made this decision and he did this, and I just heard that this is how we just need to, God bless his heart, let's just pray. That is gossip. That's not true concern for your brother. That's spreading unfavorable information. If you really have concern over someone and your concern extends to protecting Tim's privacy, then you would ask for prayer for a friend. I need y'all to pray for my friend. He's having a really hard time right now. And trust me, God can figure it out. Okay? You are not so popular that God does not know which friend you are talking about in that moment. Okay? Like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? I look at their Facebook page, 3,371 friends. Who are they talking about? I have no idea. And when that person goes to pray for your friend, God knows and hears that prayer as if they knew exactly what the situation is. Okay? So a lot of times, if we want to avoid gossip, we just have to remove the identity of the people that we're talking about. Now, again, some clarification. It is okay to share things that are going on in your life with other people. There are times where men who are close to me, we talk about issues involving our wives. This is going on. This has been going on. I kind of don't know what to do. And we help each other. We pray for each other. We give each other advice. Now, I have a group of guys that I meet with kind of regularly. There's like 7 of us. If there was something going on between my wife and I would not bring it up to this entire group of guys. I would close that circle down, and there's probably only 2 that I would talk about something like this with, and I'd probably only do it one-on-one. Not both in the same time, maybe schedule lunch with one of them. And I guarantee you, at the end of this lunch, maybe they offer some advice, they'd pray for me. What they would tell me at the end of this is, you need to talk to Cherry about this. Go talk to your wife. Because if that's not happening, if there's real conflict and I'm saying, I don't know what to do about this, then there needs to be encouragement to continue the conversation with the person who is involved. And there's times at school that you'll need to be able to say, guys, you need to go talk to them about this. I don't need to be involved in this. I don't need to know this. They're right over there. Why don't you go talk to them? So we need to direct people to talk to, if there's real problems and real concerns, we need to direct them, talk to the person this involves, and that's not me, okay? But there's just something about gossip. Why would we sit near gossip and listen to it, just take it all in? Like, why do we feel the need to do that? Why do we want to be in the know? When talking about gossip, the Bible says a fool's mouth is his ruin. His mouth invites a beating. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down to the inner parts of the body. There is something about drama that we love. We started this Thanksgiving board at our house where every night we all 6 get up and write down something that we're thankful for. And one night, my 5th grader, he got up and wrote down drama. And I said, what are you talking about? He was like, oh, I just like hearing about all the drama at school. And I was like, erase that and put something real and stop listening to gossip. Okay, we love it. Ray Ortland Jr. said, we love controversy and drama. It's the delicacy to our corrupt church. We want to be in the know. We've got to know. We can't stand being the only one who doesn't know. Who has heard? Please tell me. I didn't hear. We want to make sure everyone knows that we know. Did you hear what Karen said? Oh, let me tell you. Did you hear why they broke up? Oh, let me tell you what he did. Did y'all see the fight in the hall? I did. This is who started it. We just have to know this information, and we use that phrase, I just have to get it out. I have to tell, because we love it. We want to soak it up. We want to know that other people know that we know. And it's sinful. And we'll get into, when I talk about this next one a little bit later, why exactly this is sinful. Not only is it shedding negative light on people and casting them in a bad light, but there's something else going on inside the person who wants to gossip. So the other one is lying. So obviously, lying, there's several proverbs about lying, an abomination to the Lord. It's wrong. And we all know, and if you say, I'm not a liar, and I think a lot of people in this room would say, I'm not a liar. I believe that you think that. And when we talk about what lying is, that first line up there, any statement that is known to be false, that's normally what we're talking about when we say, I'm not a liar. I typically try to guard against repeating information I know is not true. It's the second one that often gets us into trouble, any attempt to mislead someone into believing something that's not true. So what does that mean? I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Liar Liar, but it is one of Jim Carrey's best movies, right after Truman Show, Liar Liar. It's a great show. It's about a lawyer who loses the ability to tell a lie for an entire 24-hour period. And if you say, hey, no big deal, I'm not a liar. I think we lie to ourselves about how often we lie, because he is put in these positions all day where typically what we might say a small lie would get him out of a lot of trouble, he loses the ability to do that. He loses the ability to tell a part of the truth. He has to tell all of the truth. He loses the ability to ask a question if he knows the answer is going to be a lie. So he loses the ability to even participate in a deceitful conversation. So we lie with the truth all the time. When you tell 98% of the truth, you are lying because you are trying to tell a story that is not true. So when your parents ask you why you're late and you say, oh, you know, so-and-so came and talked to me and that conversation lasted and there was traffic on the way home, you know, and they're like, oh, okay. You skip over the part where you sat in your car checking your TikToks and your Instagrams and lost track of time, and what you thought was 2 minutes was 12 minutes, and that's a reason you're late. So they understand the friend and they understand the traffic, but you know they'd be upset about the social media, so you leave that part out. This has played out so many times as a teacher where I get a phone call from a parent and this says, oh, you know, Steve says his grade is low because you did this and you didn't put that quiz grade in. And I'm like, you know what? That's true. I did not put that quiz grade in. I need to do that. Did he tell you about the test he didn't correct? No, he didn't tell me that. Is he allowed to do that? Yeah, he is. So, yes, Steve was correct. These two things are true, but, you know, he did not want to get the full ire of his parents. So he's like, you know what? It's kind of Mr. Hill's fault. True. Let me drop that quiz grade in and raise his grade about a point. He still needs to raise it about 12 more before the end of the 9 weeks, okay? So telling not the whole truth is lying. We omit truth and therefore lie. 99% of the truth is still a lie. It is still misleading intentionally. Another way we lie is to exaggerate. We exaggerate our role in stories. I don't know if you've ever heard a story where if someone said, you know, a friend of mine saw this one time or a friend of mine did this one time, and then you move on in your life and you repeat that story. But instead of saying, oh, a friend of my friend, you just say, oh, my friend saw this. And for some reason, you attribute it to your friend instead of your friend's friend. Or maybe it happened to a friend, and when you retell the story, it's not your friend that did it, it's you who saw it. Like, oh, I one time saw this. Now, you're technically not passing along false information. It's all true. What you're lying about is who experienced the information. I don't know why we do that. Well, I have a pretty good idea, but I think that happens often. I know people have done that. We lie about our grades to our friends. I've heard it happen. Whether you're rounding up or rounding down. I heard a girl just recently say, oh yeah, I failed the test. I got a 60-something. I know she got a 44. And she said, I got a 60-something. Because saying I failed wasn't enough. It was, I don't want to tell you I failed with a 44, so I'm just going to tell you I barely failed. That's a lie. It's an exaggeration of her skill and performance on that test. Okay? And we do this all the time. I mean, my fish was this big, right? I saw the picture. It was like this big. My fish was this big. Like, and sometimes we ask, what's the harm in saying my fish was this big when it was only this big? What's the harm in saying, you know, my intramural team won by 22 instead of we won by 12? Like, what's the difference between, like, really, what are we doing here? Is a white lie a victimless sin? Like, who does it hurt when I say my fish was this big when it was really this big? What does it hurt when I say I have a 94 in the class, not an 89? Like, who's really being hurt? What does it matter if I am attributing something to my friend instead of my friend's friend? Who's being hurt? There's no false information being passed on. And it matters, I think, a lot. Because the reason why we gossip and the reason why we tell these white lies is all a condition of our heart. It is a condition of a heart not aligned with God. And Jesus says in Luke 6, oh, that's not going to move it. See, I'm pretending that I'm in class and this is actually hooked up. It's not. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The things you say are a reflection of the condition of your heart. So why do we gossip? Why do we feel the need to just get it out? Why do we feel the need to hear everything? Why do we feel the need to to have all the tea and spill all the tea all of the time? Why do we feel the need to exaggerate? Well, it really has to do with our ego. We want to appear better than we are. We want to appear in the know. We want people to come to us for information. We can't stand being the only one who doesn't know. We have a huge, huge fear that we do not measure up. And someone who gossips and tells white lies and exaggerates and bends the truth to their will, it is evidence of a person who is finding their identity not in Christ, but in the way they are viewed by other people. So I have to exaggerate to feel better about myself. So you, whoever you happens to be, whether it be the entire school or my group of friends, thinks I'm better than I actually am because I'm so scared that you will think I'm less than I am. I have to tell you I made a 44 because, oh my goodness, what? Or I have to tell you I made a 60. What would they think about me if I made a 44? If they knew I made a 44. So I have to make myself appear better by lying that I got a 60-something instead of a 44. Here's the thing. Jesus never lied. Jesus never spoke unnecessary criticism. He never cut people with harsh words on purpose. He never lied with his speech because he measures up. And I'm going to take a huge burden off a lot of your shoulders here. We're all scared that we don't measure up, and I'm just going to tell you, you don't. I don't. And that's the point, right? We can't measure up, but Jesus did. And Jesus laid down his life. The one who never sinned with his words laid down his life to us who find new and creative ways to harm each other all the time. So the one who never lied died for the deceiver. The humble died for the bragger. The reconciler died for the slanderer. When you really let this wash over you and you can rest in this truth that you don't measure up, so stop trying so hard, but Jesus did, and because of that, he accepts you. If you can really understand that that is the gospel message, and if you really understand why do I gossip, why do I lie, it's because I'm continually spending all of my energy trying to be better than I am. Rest in the fact that you are broken. But Christ is not, but was broken for you. Because when you can really embrace the gospel this way, there's no need to lie, gossip, or slander. You don't need to exalt yourself because Jesus gives grace to the humble. You don't need to justify yourself to other people because in Christ you've been fully and completely justified. You don't need to be slanderous and unforgiving because you yourself have been forgiven and you can extend that forgiveness to other people. You don't need to lie to get the approval of others because Jesus has said he approves of you because of what he has done. If you would stop trying so hard with your words to make yourself feel better about yourself, you might realize that you have all the approval and all the identity you need in Christ Jesus. Be honest with yourself about why you gossip. It doesn't have a lot to do with the information. It has to do with why you want the information. Why are you exaggerating? Because you want to feel a little bit better about yourself. Because you are scared you don't measure up. I don't, you don't, we can't. But we spend so much time trying to do better. I'm sure, as you being in a youth group, you have been to youth camps or retreats, or whatever, and you have heard people stand up and say, this is what I've been doing, and I will do better. I've sung some songs, I've heard some sermons, and I will do better. And sometimes, at least when I was going to youth camp, somebody would stand up, and I'd be like, I'm so glad that this person is here, I'm so glad this person is being convicted, I'm so glad that they're going to change, and like 2 or 3 weeks later, they were back to doing the same things. But next year, you know, they would go on camp with us, they'd sing some songs, they'd hear some sermons, and they'd buy a CD maybe. CDs were this like things that you like plugged into a car, and like you could listen to it in the car. And anyway, Bluetooth wasn't a thing. But they bought some music, and they said, I will do better. And like 2 or 3 weeks later, we all knew they were going to be doing the same thing. And the next summer rolls around, and they go to youth camp with us. Good news. And they sing some songs, and they hear some sermons, and they buy another CD. And they say, I will do better. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, they're doing the same thing. And here rolls around senior year, and they're with us at church camp again, and they hear some songs, and they hear some sermons, and they buy a CD, and they stand up and say, I will do better. And 2 to 3 weeks later, they're doing the same thing. Because here's the thing. They cannot do better. You cannot do better. Christ did. Christ can. When we expend all of our energy trying to be better instead of resting in the fact that we are broken and Christ is not, this is the kind of stuff that we do. We have to pull each other down through gossip so we can feel better about ourselves. We have to lie so people won't recognize how broken we know we are. Instead of resting in our brokenness and celebrating, I am broken and there is nothing I can do. And that is the good news. That because of Jesus, I don't have to stay as broken as I know I am. This is at the heart of why we hurt each other with words. And Jesus fixes all of that. The one who never sinned with his speech fixes all of that. If we can rest in the fact that you don't measure up, then you never will. So let Christ measure up for you. And then all of this stuff, man, you are justified, you are accepted, you find your identity in Jesus and not through the way you are viewed by other people. You will have so much energy, and 700 times a day, you can encourage others who are struggling, and you can build them up and use your words for community instead of tearing people down so you can climb over their backs. You're going to break out in groups and talk about this, but I'm going to pray for you first. Dear Lord, Jesus, I thank you for coming here and living this perfect life that we cannot live. God, I can't imagine what it would be like to make it through an entire day without saying something bad about somebody at some point or bending the truth to my benefit at some point. But God, you did it. You were here and you walked the same things that we did. You experienced the ridicule and the slander that we experience. You experienced the sadness and you saw the brokenness that we experience. But God, yet you did not sin. God, I thank you that you, being the only one who was unworthy of punishment, became my punishment. God, I just ask that you would help everybody in this room rest in the fact that we are sinners made whole through you because of your grace. I just ask that you impress upon each and every one of these students how much you love them and how much you approve of them because of your death and resurrection. And I would pray that they would stop seeking the approval of others. I pray that they would stop tearing each other down, but they would lift each other up as you have lifted them up. And I pray that you show us the ways in which you gave us words to build each other up. Impress upon us the immense power that our words have to bring death or bring life. God, and I ask that you help us choose life-giving words. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you are and all that you allow us to have. In your name we pray. Amen.